Joining us now on the Super Celebrity Hotline, Dr. Oz. He's a surgeon. He's a cardiac surgeon. He's also host of the Dr. Oz Show. You see it right here, 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Fox 32. Okay, let's talk about New York, where you're from and where you practice. Looks like the cases are going down in New York. There's talk about opening the upstate parts of New York. What about the city? How long do you think it'll be before the city can start to reopen?
I'll tell you this, it's not about dates, it's about data for New York City. Until other parts of the country have successfully opened and helped demonstrate what's most effective, it would be unwise to open the city because everything is multiplied. Every error made 10 times larger. Half the deaths were in New York, New Jersey, where I am now, and haven't seen the crisis that occurs when you don't have enough beds for all the sick people. We do not want to repeat that. So I don't want to give you a date. It's going to be probably months before it's back to normal. And I certainly wouldn't even start to go forward till we've demonstrated success elsewhere.
Well, that's a really good point that you're making about the fact that the big cities are probably going to have to lag behind here what the smaller cities are going through or the less affected cities and see if Texas is an excellent example where they're starting to see, and cities in Kansas as well, where they're starting to see cases emerge. But if they open back up, will those things become exponential? What is your thought on that?
Well, you know, we didn't quarantine in order to exterminate the virus. That was never going to happen. We quarantined to bend the curve, as everyone said. It's to slow down the growth or flatten it so that we have enough hospital beds, we have the ability to manage the incoming cases, and also to get smarter about how to treat the virus and avoid getting it. So a lot of that's happened. Now, when you open the country up, you're definitely going to get more cases. Even here in New York City, we've had the hospitals continually getting cases from people who are sheltering in place, literally not leaving their homes, still getting the virus. So it's going to happen no matter what we do. The challenge for us is to not throw away all the great things we've gotten out of shutting down, which is to slow down the growth of this virus, mm-hmm. but to learn from what happens. So, for example, if the people who get sick are people without risk factors for going to the hospital, so they're not the vulnerable population, as the CDC describes them, where they're not having blood pressure issues or diabetes or being overweight. Well, those people don't have those problems when they get the virus. Usually don't have to do much except just stay at home and, get past it. Whereas people who have those risk factors, that's 90% of the hospitalized patients, by the way. They don't do so well. So we want to start off opening the country, as the CDC is asking, to people who are already healthy, likely to weather the storm of the virus if it happens, make sure they're socially distancing, wearing the mask, all the things everyone's already heard. And then depending on how many cases we see with that setup, then begin to go to the next step. So if opening restaurants is a catastrophe, you pull back and you've changed restaurants. You put plexiglass in between people. You change the social distancing rule. Try again. You go back. But remember, every time you get little brush fires of virus, you need to go in, figure out who's sick, make sure you quarantine them and the people around them that they, who may have been infected by them. Make sure those people are already healthy enough that they probably won't have a problem. That way, we're not filling up ICUs with critically ill people.
Dr. Oz, you said something really alarming there, that there are cases in New York City of people who were sheltering in place and still got it. What do you think the vector was there?
Well, it's not just some. Most of the people who are getting admitted to the hospital, according to Governor Cuomo, and I believe he's correct, are people who've been sheltering. The vector is you've got underserved populations. This is predominantly African-American, Latino folk, often living in crowded conditions. And so when one person has to go to work to earn money for the family, and they go out and ride the subway or take an elevator, innocently, by the way, they won't even have symptoms oftentimes, will come back home. And because they're in an environment where it's hard to socially distance within your family, they pass it along. Again, young people suffer at home. Older folks end up in the hospital, which is what Governor Cuomo was pointing out.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dr. Oz, what about technology as we're moving forward? We had a guy on yesterday who has a company that has one of these mass temperature detectors. So you walk into a building and it's scanning 50 people at a time and being able to pick out people who might be running over 100 degree temperature. Do you see that moving forward as a technology that's going to be in wide use?
Yes, but it's not going to be a cure-all, right? Because most people don't have a fever who get COVID-19. A lot of people completely asymptomatic. Many of the others have subtle changes to the way they smell, or they have a little sore throat, but they don't have a big fever, at least when they're walking into the building. So it's one of the many things we'll want to do. We may, by the way, want to change how people are admitted to a building. You may want to say, can you smell this? If they can't smell it, well, that's a risk factor. You've got to take a COVID test. We also are, no matter what the temperature sensor says, we're going to want to wear masks for a while. I'm hopeful that masks are more effective than many people give them credit for, especially the right masks. I do believe that if I'm wearing a mask, I reduce the chance of my infecting you. How much? We're not sure. But let's just say it's 50% reduction.
Mm-hmm.
If we take this virus to behaving like it's half as infectious as it currently is, that takes it much closer to the way the flu works rather than COVID-19. So all these little things add up. You include with that some smart decisions about who's in the office with me. So maybe only half the people are in the office with me so that we alternate. That means that it's a little bit of a hassle because you want to have a big meeting, town hall. You can't do it. But if one person gets sick, only half the company has to leave. The other half can keep functional. We need those steps as you work through these issues. And remember, medicine is on our side. We're getting better and better at treating the illness, coming up with new ideas, new solutions, and the vaccine is closer than we thought. So this is a process that's going to take 9 months. With the warm weather helping us, maybe it's only a few more months of really big problems.
Dr. Oz, as a practicing surgeon, I'd like you to explain happy hypoxia. We keep hearing stories about this, people who have been in ICUs and on ventilators, and they're hallucinating. They're delusional about things, and it's really, really difficult for those who are attending to them. What is that all about?
Well, happy hypoxia is a constellation of realities, but at its very core, there's something about this virus that reduces your ability to use oxygen and still function without realizing it. So it's dangerous because you'll be walking around outside the hospital with saturation levels of oxygen in your blood that are way below what we would tolerate normally. And normally you'd come running to us saying, I can't breathe, help me. And you're not. You're happy, but you're hypoxic. Hypoxic means low oxygen in your body. And that's why people are now looking at these oxygen sensors. Everyone's getting little things to put a clip on their fingertips and, you know, making sure they can, you know what their saturation levels are. I'm not sure that's worthwhile, but it is a true reality that we're diagnosing people with very low oxygen levels who should be in the hospital. Once you get low enough, you begin to hallucinate because your brain's not used to low oxygen levels, and that can be dangerous as well. But the biggest concern is that we usually rely on patients to tell us when they're in trouble, and that doesn't seem to be the case right now.
What do you think that's about? Is that totally novel to this?
It is novel. It's like you have high-altitude sickness. It's like you're climbing the Himalayas. But we're not really sure why it is. Somehow the virus seems to block the ability of our hemoglobin to work with oxygen. But I've read a lot of hypotheses on this, but I haven't seen the kind of proof that I'd like to have this shared publicly. But there's no question that it's real.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dr. Oz, tell me something good. Tell me something that you think is positive trajectory here in the COVID-19 fight.
I'll give you three good bits of news. First is we have more belief that vitamin D could help people stay resilient and perhaps even avoid getting airborne virus infections. COVID-19 might be included in that. So I would take vitamin D, especially if you live in a colder part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So 1,200 units a day is what I do personally. Second bit of good news is the vaccine is much closer than we thought. I have been saying it's 15, 18 months away, but it looks more like it's 9 months away. And that's because these virus companies are throwing everything they have at it. The federal government's aggressively pursuing strategies to accelerate it as well. So that means by the middle of next winter, the most vulnerable populations among us will get through it. And finally, the majority of people who get this virus do not seem to have symptoms. Or so subtle are those symptoms, they would never think that they actually had COVID-19. So for people out there who are not vulnerable, I think going out and beginning to dab their toe in the water of life again is a reasonable thing to do. Always be cautious with the tactics we've been talking about, but I think it's going to work.
Can I go back to vitamin D for just a second? Vitamin D is produced in the body through sunlight, right? So people should be trying to get enough sun, especially now in the northern climates of the United States, starting to really kick in. The spring is kicking in. As the days become sunny, even going out in a colder day in the sun, that helps.
I have always been an advocate for getting your body exposed to the sun. However, if it's too cold to show your trunk or your legs, then it's not worth it because exposing your face and hands to vitamin D doesn't give you enough, to the sunlight, doesn't give you enough vitamin D, and it will age you. So always put sunblock on your face and hands, back of your hands. But if you can walk out without a shirt, if you're a guy, or at least expose your back if you're a female, or shorts, pants, then that's a better way of going. And I tell you, it's not just about vitamin D. When the sun hits your skin, it creates dozens of chemicals that are beneficial to you. And we're supposed to get a little bit of that. So especially as the weather warms, give it a shot.
All right. Dr. Oz, you can see him on Fox 32 afternoons at 1 o'clock. Thanks, as always, for being with us.
God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.